we will find that the presence of the God will go with us.
Yeah.
He will protect us.
Yeah.
He will cover us and He will care for us.
Yeah.
Praise His wonderful name. I want to talk to you about a lady called Ruth in the Bible. And the book of Ruth is in the Old Testament, just after Judges, and there are only four chapters in there. But I'm not going to read all the four chapters, but I'm going to give you an outline first of all of what the story is about. For those of you that don't know your Bibles very well, I just want to give you a basic outline of what happened to Ruth and what happened in the story. So I'm just going to read a few verses from the Bible, and just to sort of give us a starting point, and then I'm just going to dash on through it, and then I'm just going to sort of fill in some blanks along the way, and just try and sort of encourage you to realize that God does love you, and that God does care for you, and that God is interested in everything about you. But you know, you and I need to stay in relationship and stay connected with the Lord Jesus Christ for these things to happen. So the book of Ruth, and it starts in chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land." Any idea what famine means? No? Alright. I like somebody to talk to me. Okay? I'm not afraid of you. Famine means when there's no food. Okay? There's a famine in the land. There's no food. That's not good, is it? Anybody had an empty stomach? You know what it's like, okay? You're on the edge of a famine. Thank God there's not a famine in this land. So it says here, there's a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to live in the land of Moab with his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. Remember these names, okay? Naomi is important, right? And the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. Chilion, yeah. Mahlon and Chilion. All right, you got them? Keep those in mind, okay? Because I'm going to give you some information on this. And Elimelech, Naomi's wife, died. Sorry, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. I want to get it right. Eh? He died in this strange land. They'd moved to this foreign land called Moab. And he suddenly died there. And then it goes on to say that Naomi was left with her two sons, and they took for themselves Moabite women as wives. And one was named Orpha, and the other was named Ruth. Now that's the key name, alright? Ruth. Don't forget her. And they lived in the land for about 10 years. Now they moved to this land called Moab, which was a land that worshipped false gods and idols. But they'd moved there because there was food in the land, right? And then we find that Elimelech dies. Elimelech's name means strength of the king. Each of our names has a meaning. My name's Andrew. And one of the meanings for Andrew is strong and manly. There you go. Yeah. So a name, you see, a name has a meaning. And I'm going to come out with some things for you today. I just want you to listen carefully what God wants to say to us today. And then it says, they lived in the land for about 10 years, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law and said she might return from the land of Moab and go back to her own land. Okay? So she's made a decision to go back to her own land, because suddenly she's heard there's now food in her own land. So she's moving back. Now the meaning of her son's names, and why on earth you'd call a child, one of them's Marlon, as we said, and the other one is Chilion. And one of the meanings of the names is, one of the meanings of the name is sickly. Why would you call a child sickly? You know, I mean, it's like, call me something better than that, than sickly. The meaning of the name meant sickly. Whew, you know, I mean, I don't want a name like that, do you? No. You want a name that has a good meaning to it, don't you? Yeah? Let's say something about your character. Let's say something about you that's important, you know? And so, one of the names was sickly and failing. You know, I mean, oh, what a name. And so, it's a real challenge that she has these two young men, two boys, and she's named them sickly and weak, and wow. And finally they die in this land, yet where there's food. And so then she decides, I am going back from where I came from, to where I belong. I'm going back there. And so Ruth, one of the daughter-in-law, says, I'm going with you. And the other daughter-in-law says, Orpah says, and I'll go back with you also. And she says, no. You stay in this your own land. You stay here. This is your home. This is the place where you were born and where you were brought up. But Ruth says, no, I'm going with you back to your own land. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be with you all the time. And so, as they journeyed, Ruth went with Naomi back to her own land, to Israel. She went back to that place where Naomi started. And the thing was that Naomi had grown cold inside. She'd grown sad. You see, the meaning of Naomi means beautiful of grace and of God. So the beautiful grace of God. You see, I've got a beautiful grace, haven't I? Eh? My wife's called Grace. But the name of Naomi, the meaning means beautiful of grace of God. Wow. But Naomi had become sad, had become lonely. And then she heard, as I said, that there was food in the land, so she was heading back to her own land. Ruth's name means friendship. And Ruth was being a friend to Naomi. Yeah. She could have said, well, I've got more family here in Moab, I'll stay with my old family, my original family. But there was such a bond and such a friendship, because Ruth was such a friend to Naomi. And so she went with her. And so they travelled back into Israel. And when Naomi got to Israel, she remembered that she had some land that belonged to her. So she decided that somehow she would try and claim it back in some way. She had no money. She had nothing left. She'd gone to this foreign land of heathen gods and lost her husband, her two sons, and everything else that she had was lost. And she came back to the place where she started, and she came back with absolutely nothing. Broken woman, robbed of everything. She only came back with one daughter-in-law. What a challenge. And you know, they had no food, they had no money. So there was it was a time of harvest. And if you were poor and had no food or money, You were allowed to follow the reapers of the harvest. You were allowed to go behind them and pick up anything that they'd dropped or left behind. You're allowed to pick up the seed, the corns, etc., and the wheat that was left behind, and you were allowed to keep that. So Ruth went to collect the wheat that people had left, that they couldn't be bothered to pick up. So there she was. It's called gleaning in the Bible. She was picking up the bits that were left over. The barley harvest. And I know some of you folk have done that, haven't you? Picking bits up along the way. It's not good, is it? In God there's a better way. And I want to tell you what happened to Ruth along this journey. So there she is, she's picking things up. And the man that owned the field, the master of the field, his name was Boaz. His name means strong pillar. It means redeemer. Do you know what a redeemer is? Okay. Have you ever put anything into hock? Into the pawn shop? Yeah? What do you do when you go back to get it?
Redeemer.
Thanks. So you know what a redeemer is now, don't you? You buy it back. Yeah. And his name means redeemer. He means he's the one who buys back what rightly belongs to him. So you let them bear it for a while, so you get a bit of money, and then you go and buy it back because it rightly belonged to you, yeah? So Boaz is the redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ is my redeemer. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ is my redeemer. Adam sold us all. He pawned us all off in the Garden of Eden to the devil. He's the pawn shop. And Jesus came and said, I'm buying back what rightly belongs to my heavenly Father. You, me. Jesus died on a cross to buy you back from the pawn shop of the devil. From being a slave to sin and to death and to a lost eternity. So here we have Boaz. And he says to the men that are gleaning and to the people that are gleaning in the field, he said, drop some extra for that lady. You need to drop some extra bits. Let her pick them up. Feed her. Help her. Find out who she is. He then discovers that this lady is a relative of his, a distant relative. Well, Naomi is a distant relative of his. And so, when Ruth goes back to Naomi that night, she goes back with this great big bag of seed. Naomi's like, wow, have you managed that? That is amazing that you've got so much. And she said, where have you been? So she told her the story. Went to this field, and this man named Boaz, he's given favor to us. And Naomi says, you know, he's a relative of mine. He's a relative. So she says, I need you to go to him tonight. And I said, and she tells Ruth to go to him at the night and to lay at his feet. And when he awakes, tell him who you are. And tell him that he's our redeemer. He's the next of kin. He's the redeemer for us. He can help us out of our situation. He can help us out of our difficulties. And so Ruth decides to go and do that. And in the night, Boaz suddenly awakes and finds this young lady at his feet. He's shocked. He's, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And she explains that, "You're my nearest family member. And we want you to redeem us. We want you to buy us back from poverty. We want you to buy us back from death." You see, when they lived in the land, they were dying in the land because of the lack of food. That's why they left. But they left the land of promise. And you know, sometimes we can leave the land of promise too early. Sometimes we go through trials and challenges and difficulties, and yet we leave the land of promise too early, and we go into the land of the enemy.
Yeah.
And we hand ourselves over to the devil. And then in handing herself over to the devil, she loses her husband, she loses her two sons, she has nothing left. So she returns back to her faith. She returns back to her land. She returns back to her first love. Wow. Now, do you notice, as we've been going through this, so far, everybody that we've spoken about has a name. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah.
We've all got names. You've got a name, haven't you? Chris. You've got a name, haven't you? Stephen, David, Andrew, George. Everyone, we've got a name. And everyone so far in this story, and when I say story, it is a history, right? It is not a made up story, okay? It is an historical, actual story that actually happened with these real people.
Yeah.
And each of one of these have a name. And so Boaz, when he was told that Ruth and he can redeem back Naomi, the field and everything, he said, "Okay, I'll do it." So the next day he goes to the city gates. And he waits at the city gates because he said to Ruth, he says, "There is somebody else that is a closer relative to Naomi than me," he said. So he said, "They have the first chance to buy that piece of land back." So he says, "I need to go and see that person." So he waits at the city gates until he sees the man coming, and he sees the man coming, and he says, "Friend, come to one side. We need to talk about some business." And he gets together the 10 elders of the village, of the city, together, and they all sit down, and he says, "I have something very important to tell you." He says, "Naomi has come back. And he says she wants somebody, a relative, to redeem, to buy back the land that rightly belongs to her." And Boaz says to this man, who seems to have no name. Everybody else has a name, but this man has no name. And he says to this man, "Do you want to buy this land?" And so he said, "Yeah, I'll buy it back. I'll have the land." "Okay," he said. "There's one clause."
Yeah.
"What's that?" he said. "You have to marry Ruth.
Yeah.
You have to take her as your wife."
Yeah.
"So that she will have children, and the land will belong to Ruth and her children." And the man with no name says, "No way. I'm not doing that. There's no way I'm going to do that. I'm not going to jeopardize my future." "No," So Boaz says, well, I'll do it. I suddenly realized something. The man with no name. This is a picture of the devil. This is a picture of the devil. He don't want you to have your blessing. He does not want you to have what rightly belongs to you. He wants you to say, stay poor. He wants you to live in poverty. He wants you to die. He won't redeem you back from death. He wants you to die. You see, Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. He's the Redeemer. Satan's the robber. The man with no name wanted the land. Yes. He wanted to just take the land. Now, biblically, when we read the Bible, Adam means red, the colour of the land. And when the Bible often talks about land, it talks about land being you and me. We are the land. We are the land. And so the picture in this story that God is trying to bring to you and me is to show you that the Redeemer Boaz, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to buy you back from the sin and from the degradation and from everything that Satan has done against you. And Satan says he's got nothing, he wants nothing to do with you but to destroy you, to bring you down. But you know, God sent a Redeemer, and that Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've come to redeem back. I come to take back the land. I come to take back those people, those individuals, those lives, those names that have been stolen, those names that have been robbed of life. I come to take them back. I come to redeem them, and I come to make them a blessing and to be a blessing to them. I come to restore what they've lost. I've come to bring back to them what they've missed. And this is what Boaz did. He bought the land. He took Ruth as his wife, and they had a child, and his name was Obed. Obed. And then after Obed, when he grew up, he had a family, and his first son was called Jesse. Yeah. And then the next time we hear of Jesse is when his son David is crowned king of Israel. And David is of the line of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible tells us that Jesus comes from the line of the tribe of Judah, from Jesse, from David. Hallelujah. Can you see the connection that Jesus is our Redeemer? Like Boaz was a natural Redeemer to Ruth, to sort of say, I'm buying you back. I'm taking back what's been stolen from you. I'm buying you back. You're no longer going to live in poverty. You're no longer going to go without. You're no longer going to suffer. Because as I buy you back and you take hold of me and you get into a relationship with me, then I will bring an abundance into your life. And of course, things to happen that you cannot understand, you cannot dream of. And I will cause these things to happen. This is what happened to Ruth. She had nothing. She had nothing when she left the land of the enemy. She had nothing when she left the land of the devil. But when she came into the kingdom of God, when she was redeemed by Boaz, she had a family, she had a husband, she had children, she had wealth, she had everything. Because my Redeemer provides. My Redeemer is a delivering Redeemer. My Redeemer is the one who sets captives free, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not come to judge you. He's come to redeem you. He's come to set you free. He's come to give you life, not take life. The devil, who has no name. He has no name. He had a name. He had a number of names. At one time he was called the Prince of Light. He was taken from him. He had a name that was called Lucifer. He was taken from him. He's known by many sort of non-deformed names of Satan, the devil, the demon. But he has no real name. He has no purpose. He has no city. He has no place. And he offers nothing of any good to each and every one of you. To me, he offers nothing. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. But the devil has come to steal, to kill, to destroy you. Is that what you want? The Word of God says, choose you this day. Choose this day. Who will you serve? Who are you going to serve? You going to serve yourself? You see, when Noah and I and her husband left and went into Moab, they were serving themselves. They weren't listening to God. They were serving themselves. They weren't listening to the voice of God that said, if you trust me, if you stand in faith and believe, I will provide. The Bible says, my God shall, not might, not maybe, not could be, not even might think about it. Yeah, you've got it. He says he will. Let me say this though to you. I say this seriously with a great lot of love towards you. You've got to take his hand. You see? You have to take his hand. You've got to take a grip of his hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm not going to let go. I'm being truthful with you.
Yes, Lord, it's cool, not good.
And you hang on. And when it gets tough, you hang on even tighter. Come on, man, grip. Come on. That's it. And you take a grip on this. You know, things come against you and try and break that grip. And the Word says, hang on. Trust me. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the ages. God's with you if you walk with him. Yeah? But you've got to stay close. You've got to connect. You see, we have a PA system and there's different plugs that fit into it. If you don't have the right plug, you're not going to get anything out of it. Right? And it's got to stay connected. You've got to connect. You've got to connect with Jesus. You've got to connect with God. You've got to make him, let him be the Lord of your life. You've got to trust him each day. Each day. When you wake up in the morning, you got to that place where you say, thank God. He's going to look after me today. Because he is the one who has redeemed me. He's brought me back. Amen. Jesus, who died on that cross, died that he might buy you back. That he might have the right to buy you back. That he fulfilled the contract, the legal contract, to buy you back. Just like Boaz went through a contractual situation. He had to offer to this other man, do you want Ruth? Do you want the land? He says, oh, I'll have the land. Yeah, right. Yeah, but there's a condition. Oh no, forget it. I don't want it. And Jesus said, whatever the condition is, I'll take it. I will pay the price. I will sign the contract. And I will seal the deal with my blood and my life. And God said, I'm committed to you. I'm not going to break it. I'm in a covenant relationship that is cut by blood. And I will not break my covenant with you. He wants you to have the best. And you might say to me, well, Andrew, you don't know what I go through. No, I suppose I don't know at times. I know a little. But I do know this. God, if you get into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got young men in this church whose lives have been changed. They were once like you. But God came into their lives and they hung on to the Lord Jesus and their lives have changed. They have changed dramatically. They've changed for the good. Is that not right? God has blessed them. And you know, as you and I daily, and I mean, I have to daily surrender to God. I have to daily let God and hang on to God. I face different challenges to you. But I face the challenges. And the one thing I say is, I'm going to live in the land of blessing. I'm not going to live in the land of curses and in the land of the devil. I'm going to live in the land of blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, don't hand your life over to the devil. Begin to allow the Lord Jesus to come into your life and let Him take you to another destination. Let Him take you to another level. Let Him give you a greater purpose in life than what there is now. You see, life today is not just about living on the earth. Because we all know that at some stage this physical body will die. Yeah? And we've probably all lost loved ones who have gone to the grave. What you have to remember, that when Jesus came and redeemed us back, He didn't just redeem the body, but He redeemed the soul. He said, I come that you might have life. And He gave life to our souls. He breathed life into our very souls. And our souls live on forever. And He's given to us eternal life. Where are you going to live that? Are you going to live that? In God's promised land. In the land of blessing. Or are you going to live your eternal life of torment? In the land of the devil. Because eternity is there for every one of us. Whether saved or unsaved. Eternity exists for everyone, because the Bible says the soul that sins will surely die. There will be an eternal death. And that eternal death does not mean that you will die and forget everything. It means you will be in eternal torment. But the Word of God says there's a place that I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. A life of blessing. And it's all about taking the Lord Jesus, asking Him to come into your heart, into your life, and saying, Lord, I'm connecting with you. And I'm not going to let go. And I want the life that you have got for me. I want the life that will change me. And yet there's going to be some pain in them changes. There's going to be some challenges to go through. But hey, are you strong and manly enough to stand up and say, I'm going to go through them changes? Are you strong and manly enough to say, I can do this with God on my side? Stephen means, it's Philip means one of horses. I can't remember what Stephen means. I'll have to look that one back up. Glory to God. I thought I got you then for a minute. What's your name?
Brennan.
Brennan. I'll have a look. Find out. You know what happened in the Bible, in the New Testament? A lot of people, when they became Christians, changed their names. Because a lot of their names were curses and didn't mean good things. So when they got baptized in water, they got a new name. And they got a new name that changed, that said, you know, I'm strong, manly in God. You know, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm full of God's grace and mercy. You know, we've got to realize that God wants to do something mighty for us. You see, God is about eternity, not about just today or tomorrow. God's thinking has plans for you into next year. Are you going to connect with those plans? As Ruth gave her life and as Boaz redeemed her back, it is that connection of that redemption. It's showing the love of God that says, no matter what's happened to you. And remember this, Ruth was not a Jew. Ruth was not from their tribes. Ruth was a Gentile heathen, and they should have nothing to do with her. And yet, again, you see, the Old Testament is a shadow and type of that which was to come. And Jesus said, I've come to save the whosoever. I've come to save those that are lost. Are you lost? If you're lost, and I know somebody who's come to find you, and his name's Jesus, and all you've got to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. And you know, from this day forward, and this is the challenge, from this day forward, Lord, I am going to attempt to try and be different by following you, being connected with you every day. And yes, you will make mistakes, but don't let the mistakes keep you down. You know, when you're in a fight, the only time you lose it is when you stay down. Yeah? A winner always gets up. You can be knocked down. And daily, there can be times when you are knocked down by life circumstances and situations. You know, you're suddenly walking along, and all of a sudden there's suddenly, boom, where did that come from? You know, and you're down. You're down. And you think, oh, what am I going to do? I've made a mistake. I failed God. Where am I going to go from here? He'll never forgive me. And he reaches down and says, come on, get up. And you get up. Dust yourself off, you say. And you say, okay, Lord. He says, come on, son. Let's try it again.
Amen.
Okay, Dad.
Amen.
Let's do it. And we do it again. And you keep doing it until you get it right. You keep doing it until you get it right. Albert Einstein, was it Einstein who developed the light bulb? No, Watts. Watts, weren't it? Edison, thank you. Edison, who developed the light bulb. Thomas Edison, American. He developed the light bulb. And do you know what? When he did the demonstration and showed how this light bulb worked, somebody in the press that was there to report on it, do you know what the first question they asked him, it wasn't, wow, this is a fantastic thing that you've done. It was like, how many times did you fail? And it was close to 1,000 times that he failed. But he kept getting up. And because of him keep getting up with his failures, we have light bulbs today. We've got light when it's dark. And you know, there's a world outside there that's dark, full of darkness, full of hatred, full of sin, full of jealousy, envy, greed. Desperate people, full of darkness. And the Word of God says, you can be the light. You can be the light. You can be the light of the world. Not a light bulb, but the light of the world. The light of the world. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, Jesus, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And he says, connect with me. And I'll give you light and life. And it'll change your destiny. I just want to encourage you today that we need to connect, get hold of the hand of God. Never let go. Hold on when it's tough. Hold on when it's difficult. And realize that He's doing a great work in you. He's about to do a work in you. He's about to change you, to mold you and shape you, and He is about there to give you a great future. Do you want it?
Yes.
Well, you've got to connect to Him. If you want it, you have to connect. If you want the things of God, you have to be involved with God. You have to follow God. You have to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a daily following the Lord Jesus. Not when you feel like it. Not I'll whisper a prayer when I'm in a tight corner. But it's every day. I walk with Jesus every day. And as you walk with Him every day, He'll talk to you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you, He'll direct you, and He will set you free. And He will bring you to a promised land. He will bring you into a good inheritance. You know what an inheritance is? Well, alright, well, that's the whole thing. But I mean, let's talk about being alive, you know. And to get an inheritance while you're alive, you know, some maybe family member dies and they leave you something, and that's your inheritance from them. Yeah? And it might be some money, it might be a house, it might be a piece of land, just something, or it might be something that belonged to them that was precious. God wants you to have an inheritance of the kingdom of God. He wants you to have something good now.
Yes.
Not when you're dead. Physically. But now. And the Bible says now is the acceptable time and year of the Lord. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your life. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Because guess what? None of us know if we're going to arrive in tomorrow. You don't even know if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning. You don't even have the ability to say, I'm going to live tomorrow. You can't make that decision. But the decision you can make today is that today I will ask the Lord Jesus into my heart and life, and I will live eternally with Him, and He will change my destination. He will give me a hope. He will give me a future, and He will give me a purpose in life that I've never had before. And He will give me something to live for, and He will give me something powerful for my life. Everybody just bow your heads at this time, please.